We sang, "I must tell Jesus," the first song there. I must tell him all of my troubles, all my trials. He is a kind, compassionate friend. In my distress, he kindly will help me. I like the one line there. It stuck out as we were singing it. If I but ask him, he will deliver. If I but ask. The Lord says, you don't receive because you don't ask in the book of James. And then he goes on to further say, and when you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lusts. We're going to be looking at the area of prayer some this evening. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to start just recapping the verse previous to our text. So 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 11 through 15. If we could stand for the reading of God's word, if you're able to. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear my Father, we come before and we think about this matter of prayer and the matter of our protection. We thank you that, Lord, when the enemy does come, you raise up a standard against them. We thank you that you have promised in several places, Hebrews 13:5, one of them, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I pray that each one of us, when we go through trying times, Lord, that we would hold fast to those promises. Cave in, but that we'd stand fast. We ask that you would speak to us through your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So last week we ended with verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. I really believe that the area of eschewing evil is so important. I gave the definitions of the words for eschew evil, for eschew. And just for the word issue itself, it means to deviate, to shun, to decline, to avoid, to go out of the way. To go out of the way. And the next word is off. From. It usually denotes separation, departure, cessation, completion, reversal. And I give the illustration of as during war times when sometimes a combatant, a soldier, would throw a grenade into the ditch of the enemy, and the enemy would pick up that grenade and throw it back. And with the believer, we are throwing grenades all the time. And we're to eschew evil, to throw it back, get it away from us before it does damage. We are to eschew evil. We're to do good. Get rid of that evil. Not even countenance it. Not even sort of set it aside and say, well, I'll think about it. But just get rid of it. Eschew it. I mean, you think of prime examples like Daniel. You know, he purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself the king's meat. He purposed that he would continue praying, even when they were supposed to go and worship the king. You think about his compatriots, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were told to worship the image. And they eschewed evil. They made a clear statement against it. Instead, we're supposed to do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That word ensue meaning to pursue. So we seek peace, we pursue peace. And we've read in other passages that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those that make peace. I believe that's the wording of it. We have to pursue it. We have to want it. Peace. Peace with God, first and foremost. Peace with our fellow brothers and sisters. Peace with our neighbors. There's been times when I've had some incidents, and some of you will know some of the incidents that, you know, we've had, and in some cases, we've done nothing. Well, in all cases, we've done nothing wrong, and yet, you know, you have to have that. You have to have that. That desire to live peaceably with all men. I'm talking about parking situations. And we try so hard to be diligent not to cause offense, even though we have done nothing wrong. So that goes with our coworkers, it goes with our neighbors back at home, wherever. We're supposed to seek peace, pursue it. Okay, let's look at the next verse now. Verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. You know, sometimes we think that the Lord doesn't see us, and sometimes it gives us a false sense of security that we can sin when we cannot, ought not to. But sometimes when we're going through trials and testings, sometimes we feel like we're all alone, that he has forsaken us. Now, we have to be clear that the Lord is with us if we are walking in obedience to him, if we have fallen out of step with him, if we are in rebellion to the Lord, then we have moved away from him. If I'm in sin, I'm not going to want to be around the Lord. I'm not going to want to fellowship with the Lord. It's going to affect my relationship with him negatively. And so there are times when we might feel alone and we have to examine ourselves and say, okay, well, Lord, am I in sin? You know? Jonah was in sin, and he ended up in the whale, in the belly of the whale. I almost said that backwards. In the belly of the whale. And, I mean, he was very much alone, but he prayed to the Lord. The Lord heard him. The Lord forgave him of his sin. The Lord had the whale spit him out. The great fish spit him out on the dry land. So he could once again do what he was told to do. So he was alone because he was in sin, but the moment he got right with God, that presence was restored. And that's one thing beautiful about the Lord, is if we are in sin, the Lord doesn't have a sort of a wait and see sort of attitude. Okay, yeah, you said you're sorry. Well, I'll talk to you for 5 minutes a day. And if you're still good the next day, I'll increase it to 10 minutes. The Lord doesn't do that. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He casts, as we read in Psalms 103, our sins as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. He forgives it. Sometimes we feel like God doesn't see what people are doing to us. Sometimes we feel like he doesn't see the persecution that we experience. He sees it. We don't have to worry about it. Sometimes we feel like he doesn't see our pain and our suffering on the inside. Maybe we're going through torments and trials of afflictions, and maybe no one sees it on the outside, but we experience it in the inside, and we think, no one sees this. Well, God does. He certainly does. He knows everything. Sometimes we do certain deeds for the Lord, and We wonder, did the Lord actually see me do that? You know, we don't want to do deeds just for the rewards that he has promised. Instead, we want to do, our primary motivation should be so that we please him, so that he is happy with what we've done for him. Rewards certainly are there, and they're a part of the ambition to do a certain deed for the Lord, but the primary focus ought to be in pleasing him. So the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's watching us. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro around the earth. That's a verse that I believe we'll look at here a little later. So the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And then we see his ears are open unto their prayers. I was thinking about this. Imagine a homeless person living on the street being approached by a billionaire. He tells him that he will pay off his debt. Of course, the homeless man has to agree to it. And not only will he pay off his debt, but he'll keep the debtors away. He will deal with the consequence of his debt. Kind of think about that in the way of salvation, how the Lord pays off our debt, keeps the debtors away. Further, he gives him a job, and he tells him, he says, anytime you run into problems, here's my phone number. You give me a call right away, and I will fix those problems. I will search out the matter, and I will fix the problem as I see fit. The from my experience, I will use my experience to fix your problem. But imagine that once homeless man running into some financial problems, and instead of going to his boss for that promised help, he starts to panic, and he borrows money to pay for his expenses. Further, imagine that his boss finds out that he never came to him. He says, I told you, you just come to me, and I will take care of you. Those financial pressures were substantial to that once homeless man, but it would be nothing to that billionaire. Nothing. In the same manner, we as believers often do not go to the Lord. If I but ask him, he will deliver, we sang. If I but ask him. So many times we don't. We don't go and ask him. What are some of the reasons why we don't bring our requests before the Lord? I think sometimes we don't think to. Just, you know, we're kind of on a horizontal plane and our mind isn't vertical. We're not thinking vertically. We haven't set our affections in heaven the way we ought to have. And so when the trials and tribulations come up, we get out a spreadsheet and try to figure out our expenses and what's coming in, what's going out, and how we can make this work. And it's good to be diligent. But we don't think to go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, washing machine just broke. Car just broke. It's your car, Lord. That's one thing. I've always given my cars to God. I always have. And because I want him to take care of those cars. Right back to 85 Volkswagen Jetta that my parents gave me. That miled out at 650,000 kilometers. We parked it at 650. And Dad started actually getting interested in getting it back on the road even then, because the engine was still going strong. But you could get into first gear a couple different ways. You know, the muffler was terrible. But the Lord helped me with that. Because when my parents gave me that car, I mean, they actually thought it was on its last legs when they gave it to me at 390,000 kilometers. I said, Lord, this is your car. I did that with every other car since then. And I've sought how I can use it in the ministry, as many of you do as well. You know, helping people come to church and giving them rides, doing what you can to use that to help others. Sometimes when the car breaks down, sometimes we forget to go to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, we've got a big problem here. Need your help. And, you know, the Lord, he gives us solutions. Like, I'll give you an example. I broke a bracket on this Chrysler when I was fixing belt tensioner on. I broke this cast iron aluminum. I thought all the bolts were off, and I went and tried taking it off, and it was a little stuck and gave a little bit too much manpower, and it broke. I called up the dealership, and they said that's going to cost $250-some. And I'm thinking, for a bracket this big, $250. But the Lord put it into my heart to go down to Tony's welding shop down here on Trunk Hill and see whether or not he could weld that back together. And he said, oh, yeah, sure, I can do that. He said, how much do you want to pay? I said, I don't know. How much is it worth? You tell me. No, he says, no, how much do you want to pay? Anyway, it ended up costing me like $40. The Lord gave me that. I didn't have to pay that exorbitant cost because the Lord put it into my heart to give me this option that did not cost that much. It's held up great. It's probably stronger than it came from the factory. So sometimes we just don't think to go before the Lord. Sometimes we're not willing to meet the requirements, the conditions for prayer. Need a little acronym here. It's not necessarily in a particular order. I started it off the way I had it at the beginning was bury, like to bury somebody, and I thought, yeah, that doesn't have a nice connotation. So I turned it around, and it's Ruby. I like that. Okay, the right reason. Let's take a look at James chapter 4, verse 3, please. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 through 3. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So, our right reasons. When we go to prayer to the Lord, we've got to have the right reasons behind it. Not something to consume upon our lusts. Not something that we don't need. I know the Lord tells us he gives us the desires of our heart. But we ought not to pine after our desires. You know, I recently bought a boat from a coworker. I'm gonna sell my current boat, and I wasn't looking for a boat. I kind of in the back of my mind I thought, you know, I'd like to have something a little bigger, wider, more stable for the children. You know, not so low to the ground, not so low to the water. It'd be kind of nice. And I wasn't searching. And then, a coworker just chance says, yeah, I've got to sell my boat. So, well, what do you have? You know, and he tells me an excellent price. Bought the boat, the trailer, the motor for the price of the motor. I was not seeking it to consume it upon my lust. The Lord put it in my lap. So we got to have the right reasons as we go into prayer. The you, upright. We have to be upright. Essentially, walking in obedience to God. Psalms 66:18, you're familiar with that passage, no doubt. Psalms 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I'm countenancing sin, if I'm allowing sin to have a stronghold in my heart, my life, and I'm not, if I'm unrepentant, It says here, the Lord will not hear me. We have to be upright. We have to be in obedience to the Lord. Now, the Lord will hear my prayer. If my prayer is, Lord, oh, I'm so sorry. Why did I do that again? Please forgive me. That prayer, he will hear. He will forgive. Let's take a look in the New Testament now, Mark chapter 7, verse 6. Even on the way there, Mark chapter 7, verse 6. Similar passage somewhere else, but not today. Mark 7, 6. He answered and said unto them, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees and scribes, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Isaiah 29:13. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips, their heart is far from me. God's not interested in lip service. He's not impressed by hypocrisy. He knows everything that that's going on in our heart. So when we come to the Lord, we have to come in uprightness, in righteousness. Let's take a look at John chapter 9, verse 31. Can't just be close to him in our lips and far from him in our hearts. John chapter 9, verse 31. We read here, this is not Jesus talking, but this is still true. We know this to be true because it's consistent with Scripture. This is the blind man that was born blind and Christ healed him, and he says some profound things. Let's back up. Just to get the context, we love this passage. Let's back up right to verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Love that statement. That's so spiritually true of us. As coming from being unbelievers to believers. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Don't you just love that? Here he's a blind man. He was castigated because they believed that if you had an infirmity, that either you or your parents or family had sinned. So here he is. He's now speaking up. All these years, probably that silent person sitting there asking for alms. I mean, not silent. He was asking for alms, but silent in the perspective of being spiritually silent. Then they reviled him again and said, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God hath spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, this is key. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. That's the truth there. God does not listen to sinners. He doesn't listen to the prayer of the unrepentant person, whether they be an unbeliever or a believer that's in unrepentant sin. Okay, so the acronym, RUBY, right reasons, the conditions for prayer, right reasons, not to consume it upon our lusts, upright. And then the B, believing. We have so many verses about that, don't we? We'll look at two passages. So Matthew chapter 21, please. Verse 22, Matthew 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, taken by itself, this might make you think that, well, I can ask to be a millionaire because, you know, it says it. But we compare scripture to scripture, and we've already looked that we have to have the right reasons. So it has to it has to meet these conditions. But we have to be believing. We cannot ask for it and say, God can't do this. Sometimes I've had struggles in the past, you know, where sometimes it's not that I'm saying God can't do this, but I have sometimes will say, I don't think God is going to. You know, I don't think he will. I had an interesting experience last week. I was out in a tree stand hunting, and I was praying and thinking about the idea of prayer and saying, Lord, I know you can give me a deer. And I believe it 100%. You can. And I said, you could put one right there for me. And I asked, I specifically prayed that the Lord put one right in this particular spot, about 30 yards from me. It was a windy day. I couldn't hear much because the trees were whistling, moving around, and it was kind of fun being in a tree stand. So at least, you know, the trees are groaning and all this. Next thing you know, a doe walked out 12 yards away from me, not 30 yards, but 12 yards away from me. Unfortunately for me, good for her, my safety was on, and I clicked it off, she ran away. The Lord answered my prayer. He did even better than that. He brought even the deer even closer than I asked. But we have to be believing. Now let's take a look at James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. You're familiar with this passage in where the Lord talks about asking for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. James 1, chapter 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, to believe, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And that is a prayer. That is something that you can ask for as much of that as you want. You know how sometimes you might go on a diet, and there are certain things that they say, you can have this in moderation, or in some cases, avoid this. Then there are certain things in that diet, they might say, you can have as much of that as you want. Eat as much spinach as you desire, you know? And this request here, if any man lack wisdom, then ask of God. You can ask for as much of that as you want, and keep asking, and ask some more, you know, as you progress through your Christian walk. Because it is like a set of stairs in our Christian walk. So we need wisdom for today, and then we have new situations that come up. We need wisdom for tomorrow. So when we ask, we must ask in faith and say, Lord, I know you will provide this. I know you will give this. Same thing goes when you're thinking about specific wisdom. You're saying, Lord, I need wisdom in knowing how to handle this situation. I need to know your will in this situation. The Lord will give it. It might take a little while. It might take some perseverance. But he will give what you need, the information you need. So we have to ask believing. So right reasons, upright, believing, and then yielded. Take a look at Luke chapter 22, verse 42, please. Luke 22, verse 42. We'll read back up to verse 39. This is Christ, as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, just prior to his betrayal. So Luke 22:39, and he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The next point here is yielded. Yielded. Jesus Christ was yielded. He says, if there's any way to remove this cup, then he says, but not my will, but thine be done. He was yielded to the will of the Father. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. That shows us a great deal about the character of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Even though he was equal with God, he voluntarily took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death. He obeyed the Father, did the will of the Father so assiduously. He didn't deviate from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 19. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth. And we'll back up to verse 18. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Notice there, if the Lord will. And that's the way we need to pray. We need to say, okay, Lord, I want your will. I want your outcome here. I don't want mine. And it can be so easy to flavor our prayers with our own motivations, our own motives, our own desires. So he says here, if it is God's will, I will come. Take a look in the book of James. Same chapter we were in at the very beginning, James chapter 4. Now we're dropping down to verse 13. James 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you notice there, he says, you ought not to say, I'm doing this today, I'm doing this tomorrow. But rather you say, if the Lord will. I mean, sometimes we tell people, ask us, what are you doing? Well, these are my plans. But there has to be that sort of the sense that this is all within the Lord's will. And you know, when circumstances change, we gotta be so careful it doesn't rock our boat. I know for me, I had to learn that in EMS, and some of you in your different careers, you've had to learn things. And like, you know, in EMS, you sometimes get called for one thing and you find you're dealing with something totally different. An example I might have given here before was a case where we're called to a pregnant lady in the ditch. And I wasn't on the call, but my coworker was, and so he thought, oh, we're going to deliver a baby. So he's got his obstetrics kit out and all this other stuff. No, it was a pregnant lady that got involved in a very minor car accident. Nothing to do with it. It was just like, oh, by the way, she's expecting, you know. And in his mind, he was all geared up for one thing. And sometimes in life, we make plans, and then all of a sudden something changes, and we're like, we're shaken. You know, we had a concert planned here some years ago with a quartet from Crown College. I don't know if some of you will remember, but I don't remember exactly what happened, if we had to cancel the whole thing. I think we did. They were in Abbotsford, and their vehicle was broken into, and their passports were stolen, and their American passports, and their computers, and they had to stay in Abbotsford Burnaby, I think. And they had to go to the U.S. Consulate and get new passports issued, or at least some sort of a preliminary passport. And so they couldn't come. We had to cancel that evening that we were expecting to have with them. Things happen, things change, and we have to be able to roll with it and say, okay, well, I guess, Lord, you've got other plans. Some of you will remember years ago that I was on call at the hospital, and I got buzzed at 9:45 in the morning to come into the hospital. And I said, do you think this can wait till 12:30 when I'm done my services? And they said, no, he'll be dead by then. If you're going to come, you better come now. And so some of you will remember that I didn't have anyone to really help me then. And so, you know, especially short notice to be able to just come up with something. And so we, you know, had a time of prayer. And I went off to go talk to this person. You have to be able to God puts things in our life, and we have to be able to be yielded to his ways. So, the conditions for prayer, the right reasons, being upright, believing, yielded, Ruby. Of course, there are other things that are involved in the conditions of prayer. We think of persistent prayer. Think of the widow woman that went to the judge over and over and over, and finally he said, as you know, Christ talking about this, that widow woman, finally he says, okay, I'm going to answer, I'm going to deal with her situation because I'm tired of her coming to me. You think about corporate prayer as a church family, and we read in Matthew chapter 18 about, you know, when we come together and God hears our prayers, answers our prayers. But these are some of the main conditions of prayer, right? The right reasons, being upright, believing, being yielded. So there's some work on our part. There's some faith. When we're dealing with difficult situations, sometimes pulling out a credit card seems easier than going to the Lord in prayer. A couple thoughts on God's attitude toward prayer. It's two verses before we close here. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, a verse that many of you probably also are familiar with. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. See, again, we see the condition of prayer. We have to be upright. But we notice God's response. He delights in it. The God of all eternity, the only God, not one of many, as you know, you might get have in other religions like the Hindus or the Mormons. One God, the God of all eternity, the God that created us, delights to hear from us, delights to hear our prayers. Well, let's take a look in Matthew chapter 7. So he delights to hear, but he also delights to answer. Now, the word delight is not in this passage, but you get the sense of it when you read it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. I know sometimes it says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Sometimes it's not the answer we're looking for, the answer we wanted, but we will receive the answer. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So verse 11, key verse there. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So he delights to hear our prayer. He delights to answer our prayer. Okay, well, we'll end with those thoughts, and we're going to pick it up, Lord willing, next week with the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Dear Father, we come before you, and we thank you that you delight to hear our prayers. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who made prayer possible, that we might have access to your throne, that we are made a priesthood of believers. We no longer must go to a priest to communicate with you, but directly to you through your Son. Lord, we pray that you'd help us, each one of us, to meet the conditions of prayer, to be diligent to bring these requests. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Lord, we pray that you would then delight in our prayers, delight to answer them according to your will. Lord, help us to believe, ask believing. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now as we go to prayer, that you remind us of those requests that we need to bring before your throne. Help us not to be negligent, we pray. We pray that we would be effectual, fervent. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, your word says in James. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.